explanations I've got to make about today's shiur. First of all, it's not on the regular location, which already makes a difference for several reasons. You get accustomed to a place, got a shas at hand, got some sporim at hand, one is able to work there, and it means some kind of readjustment that it's only for 2 weeks, for this week, Emir Tashem, next week, we are back again to the old place. Barry, you remember what it is, the old Emirates. Now, the next thing is, before I go any further, I want to welcome back Dr. J.B. Cohen, who's returned from a simcha. He's been back in shul before, so you probably all met him. I haven't met him since he's returned. This is the first time. And I wish him and his wife very hearty mazel tov on the wedding of their son, Bezalel. You'll remember that when Bezalel was visiting here, he was here for some months. How long was it? About 3 months he was here. He came, he davened in this shul, and he was regularly at the shir. He never missed a shir. And these were the few instances. We've had a couple of instances now where a father and a son comes to a shir. Got it with Phil and with David, and we had it with Dr. J.D. and Bezalel. And you know, this is, can't tell you how important that is. The next step is that they come together with their grandson. And then you've got it right. That is the Chut HaMeshulosh. Asher b'maheiro lo yinosek. That is the threefold
threefold cord
that isn't easily severed. You can't sever it, break it. And you know, we say it everybody, those police some mara ruchi asher olecho dvorai asher samti, and my words which I put into your asher samti, v'ficho v'fi zarocho u'v'fi zera zarocho, I put my words, says Hashem, into your mouth and into the mouth of your seed and into the mouth of your seed forever and ever. Know what that means? That means it lasts forever. Once it's three generations. Once it's for three generations. Only thing is, we've got to understand two questions. And don't forget, by asking two questions, it means you don't understand it. And by not understanding, it shows that you do understand it. You understand my Greek. You don't understand. All right, you get that. It's only by not understanding that you begin to do it. I told some people yesterday, the first time I learn a Gemara, I've got no difficulties. I know I don't understand. The second time I go over the same piece of Gemara, it's not quite as clear. I feel a bit happier. The third time I go over the Gemara, good heavens, I don't understand it at all. The fourth time I go over the Gemara, it bristles with kashas, it bristles with questions. Then I'm happy. Now I know I can begin. Now I know I can begin learning. Now I know that I can begin learning. If you've got no questions on anything, just be certain you don't understand. If it says, Ulvoraya kesamti bepicho, le yomushu mi picho mi pi zarocho mi pi zera zarocho, me atuve adelom, and my word which I have put into your mouth, will into the mouth of your children, to the mouth of your grandchildren, will never depart from now and forevermore. I've got two questions to ask of it. The one question I've got to ask on it is, we see that there are three generations of that and the fourth generation hasn't got it. That question Tosfos asks, actually in Kesubos, further on in Kesubos. Good question. Just a question of observation. Another question I want to ask, which is very similar to that question. The whole world is like that now. It's possible that here we're sitting, fathers didn't live. It's possible the grandfathers didn't live. It's possible the great-grandfathers didn't live. I'm told that there are Jews in Los Angeles. They say you can find them here. There are Jews that you can find in Los Angeles that their grandfathers already didn't put on tefillin. Can you imagine a thing like that?
Sure.
You can imagine it. I can't. I mean, to me, I just accept it if it's told to me. I'm a person who believes very easily. I accept that it is like that. But it's something that is attached on me. That's a material. Now, you think that the great-grandfathers of those grandfathers who already didn't put on, great-grandfathers who didn't put on tefillin, also didn't put on tefillin? No. And we know Abraham did put on tefillin and did study Torah. Yitzchok put on tefillin and studied Torah. Yaakov put on tefillin and studied Torah. The Shifte Kor, the 12 sons of Yaakov, all put on tefillin and studied Torah. So look where we stand already. We've got four generations, they say, should have been guaranteed forever. So how is it that we have got altogether in Los Angeles, I say 700,000 Jews, 700,000, Michael says 600,000. Is that 600,000? Well, let's see, I accept Michael's. Take 600,000 Jews. Well, it's possible that out of those 600,000 Jews, 300,000 Jews don't put on tefillin and don't learn, and 300,000 Jews, you know what it means?
Probably women.
It's a lot more than that.
It's much more than
that. 350,000, be quiet. You know what it is. So, we had Abraham, we had Yitzchok, we had Yaakov, we had all that. How is it that it's not here? How is it?
Wouldn't it be if all the Jewish people throughout all the generations have always remained Jewish?
They remain Jewish.
No fallout or no one leaving the Jewish fold. Wouldn't there be as numerous today as the Chinese?
Yes, but we. So you think it would be bad?
No, there would be as numerous as the Chinese.
I can assure you that that wouldn't have happened. The Goyim would have seen to it that that didn't happen.
Very good.
That would never have happened. They saw to it already. Yes.
Does it mean rather that once you've got this three generations in a row, that that line will not completely die off, but that there might be some?
Well, that's very good. There are two things. The first thing is Tosfos answers. He says those three generations is only if Ro'im Zeh Lozeh. They see one another. See? They come together to a shear. Then, all right. Father, son, come together to a shear. Father, son, and grandson come together to a shear. That's the three-fold cord. So, but rope, it's together. It's not that they don't see each other. It's together. They work together. That's the one. That's what Tosfos answers. But still, it still doesn't answer the whole question. We find that that has been, and it's also stopped. Doesn't answer that question. This is bound up with something very, very interesting and very, very important. You know, I do things that are... Is that Abraham? I do things with you that really I shouldn't do with you. I tell you things that took me 30 years, 40 years to discover. And when I say 30 years, 40 years to discover, I didn't mean that day and night I wasn't in 30, 40 years, but I was not Mashiach for it for 30 or 40 years. And there's still things that I'm still on. I'm not Mashiach Das from there. They're not put away in the bottom drawer. They're put away in the top drawer. And not just on the left-hand side, and not just on the right-hand side, but this tough middle drawer that I'm always opening up and closing. That is where they are. And they've been there 30 years, 40 years. And along the line, these things solve themselves. The Rambam says that the greatest experience that the Jew ever had, an experience which left him with a conclusive result, was only one. Kriyas Yam Suf, a great experience, that is the splitting of the Red Sea. I'm helping you just do it. If there are any words I usually don't understand, you must ask me. Because I take for granted sometimes, you know, we've been on this for some time, so you just ask me. Kriyas Yam Suf, a great experience, observes the Rambam, a reservation. Still a reservation. The only experience about which there was no reservation whatsoever was Har Sinai. Kabbalah Satero, Torah Min HaShemayim. There was no reservation. That, why? Because it was an audiovisual experience, as I mentioned to you once before. They heard the exact words. I showed you the Rambam. They heard the words where Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe. First of all, they saw the kolos, the lapidim. They understood that it wasn't the usual type of thunderstorm, of electrical storm. It was quite a different type of storm. And they understood that. And they saw Moshe going into the Arofel. And Hashem speaking to him. It was unmistakable. Hashem was. Moshe said to the children, to the Bnei Yisrael, Chach v'chach, this is what you say. And Hashem spoke. Onochi Hashem v'kech. And the first two commandments, they get every single word. And the first two commandments is first person to second person. The other commandments are already third person, which shows that they didn't hear directly. They heard this from Moshe Rabbeinu, but the first two heard it from Moshe. Can you imagine what an experience that is? Says the Rambam, that was the only experience that the Bnei Yisrael had. No reservation whatsoever. No reservation. Accepted altogether. So says the Rambam, they didn't need any other proof. That was Kabbalah Satir. I was always worried, good, that's the proof that they had. But we need the proof. The Kuzri speaks about that, and the Kuzri says, our proof is very simple. What is our proof?
Says the Kuzri, that we heard it from our apostle.
We hear it from our fathers. How do we know that our fathers told us? How do we know that that was true that they told us? So simple. And another question. All right. 350,000 Jews in Los Angeles that don't keep anything. How many Jews are there in Los Angeles that don't believe in Torah Min HaShemayim? How many Jews? I think it's less than that. But you think more? They don't believe in Torah Min HaShemayim.
I think it's more.
They tell me that there are religious Jews that don't believe in Torah Min HaShemayim. Don't believe in Torah Min HaShemayim. They tell me they are observant Jews. I've never seen that, but they tell me. that they are observant Jews, but tell them in Hashemayim that they have the money. They'll keep Shabbos and they'll keep Kashrus, but tell them in Hashemayim that not. So, do you understand what I'm saying, David?
It's ridiculous.
Yes. What's ridiculous?
Well, that they would bother to go ahead with the halakha, and they don't believe
that. They tell me that they exist for us. So, what does the Kuzri say? They've been handed over to them. And I mentioned this to you once before. The surprising thing is, only very recently I saw in the Prophet's Chaim. And I just can't get over it. The Chofetz Chaim doesn't mention the Rambam, and he doesn't mention the Kuzri. All he says is, in these days, we find that parents are not giving their children the right education. They don't give them a Torah education. They think it's more important that they go to secular schools where they don't get any Torah education, or they get the wrong type of Torah education. They don't follow up the education gained by a yeshiva. Nothing. So where is the promise? He said, until two generations before his time, says the Chofetz Chaim, that was exactly so. A father handed over to his son. That's not the important thing. The important thing is that the child was Maccabean. He took it from his father. His father told him that he's right. Says the Chofetz Chaim, two generations ago, a new business started. Children, when they spoke about their father, said, my old man. You know, when I first heard that expression, I didn't know what it meant. Until I asked them, I said, who's your old man? She's my father. Speak of his father, he's an old man. I hear girls speak about she. And she asked her once, I said, I don't know whom you mean by she. She's my mother. She, when you say she, we understand she's the cat's mother. We never think that the person's mother is she. Until two generations before the Chofetz Chaim, that, you know how long that was, that must have been until about 1780. If a father told a child something, there was no question that is so. No question. So what area does that belong to? That the child does, of course, if the father says so, then what area does it belong to? That is Derech Eretz. He says the Chofetz Chaim, Derech Eretz called Molotero. First is Derech Eretz, then is Torah. So if a child has got Derech Eretz, then he's got the Torah. He knows it's Torah Misina. As soon as he hasn't got Derech Eretz, that stops. Where the father hands it over to the son stops. He says, my old man says so. What's it worth? My old man says so. My old man says he heard from his father. Who heard from his father? The school's Mahmud Harsina. What's it worth? My old man says so. He says so. He believes in it. Of course it breaks. If there's no Derech Eretz, there can't be any Torah. That is an unqualified rule. No Derech Eretz, no Torah. A person can know the whole of Shas. And if he has no Derech Eretz, that's not Torah that he's got. It's not a Sama Chaim, but it's a Sama Modis. The Gemara itself says it's a Sama Modis. Because Derech Eretz called Molotov. Can't have. So let us make no mistake what Derech Eretz means. You understand what Derech Eretz is? You see, he must ask me. How do you, what did we say there of Eretz in English?
Respect.
Respect.
Common.
Conduct. Behavior.
Delicate.
And all those things is still not Eretz. It's only we who've got this concept of Derech Eretz that is a principle, it's a postulate. Only we have got what Derech Eretz is. How important Derech Eretz is. Hands it down. I tell you that. I worked on that for about 40 years, I suppose. From the first time I saw it in the Kuzri, I couldn't understand that Kuzri. Hands down, hands down. And the son doesn't believe it. So where do you stand? Where do you stand? And the Chofetz Chaim says that without any reference to the Rambam. He just says, why it is that already in his day, in the Chofetz Chaim's day, why it is that there's such a weakness in Torah.
The events of Napoleon.
Nothing to do with it. You think that the events of Napoleon were worse than the Crusades? You think that the events of Napoleon were worse than the Spanish Inquisition?
No, not in terms of worse or better, but I believe that Napoleon did was open the ghettos, whereas
the ghettos were open.
The Jews, they burned the ghetto.
The ghettos were open.
Remained in the ghetto.
The ghettos were open before Napoleon. The ghettos were open with Mendelssohn and Lessing. Ghettos were open before Napoleon. They already opened the ghettos. Of course that had to do with it. But then it stopped, the Derech Eretz stopped there. So the Derech Eretz is, it's remained. But it's remained in a very, very limited area. Even in what we call the Torah world, it's in a very limited area of the Torah world. That is where Derech Eretz is. Very limited. And don't forget, when the Mishnah speaks about in the Ikvus et Mashicho, that there will be Chutz Beyaske Ve'ein Telchocho. In the Ikvus et Mashicho,
meaning
the time prior to the coming of the Mashiach, there will be all these things. It's speaking about us. Speaking about us. It's not speaking about the 350,000 Los Angeles Jews. It's speaking about the other 250,000 that go to shul regularly, that put on their talis and their tefillin, that keep Shabbos, that keep kashrus. That's whom it's speaking about. That's where it would be. Not against the Chofshim, speaking about us. Ein techocho. Can't give techocha to anybody. If you want to know, there's a stira. The Gemara says, what will happen in Ikvus et Mashicho? Ikvus et Mashicho. There will be no such thing as coming and discussing something over the table. Person will take the law into his own hands. If he wants to, he wants something, he'll do it. He won't consider what's the Din Torah. He'll do it. By threats. If not threats, terrorism. Won't be any such thing as negotiation. There won't be anything as telchocho. You won't be able to go to a person and say to him, buried you. Mind if I take you as an example?
No.
Like I said, I gave to Chocho to bury. Bury took it very nicely. Took it very nicely. Just a gentle reminder. It won't exist. As you know, you find it today. Just mention something to somebody. He bristles immediately. And if you... They told me yesterday, I was horrified. They said that I tell my Balabatim sometimes things. They said, you know, only you get away with it in your community. Where else they tell the rabbi, mind your own business. Now, you know, those three words, to say it to anybody, is not derech eretz. To say it to an employee, it's not derech eretz. To say it to somebody who's working in your home, painting your home, you don't use those words. They're not expressions that one uses. No te chocho, ain't te chocho, you can't say anything to anybody. Tell you, very interesting. So it's bad. It's so bad that we realize that this is the time already, and no doubt about it. This is the time of the Ikvah mission. Just listen to this. In the end of the Devarim, Hashem says, when all these things which I have said in the Telchochas fall upon you, do you remember what it was? And that terrible things. What happened between 1941 and 1945. Some of the things. I hope there won't be anything else. But it's not ruled out that there won't be anything else. It's not ruled out that there won't be anything else. I remember this must have been about 25 years ago. I was with Rabbi Bramsky in Yerushalayim. And we were speaking about certain things that was happening in the Torah world. And he said something to me. And I said to him, the terrifying thought is that this can happen again at any time and anywhere. And I hesitated only for 2 seconds. And I said, except perhaps in England. And the reason why I said excepting perhaps in England is because the Russian government exiled Rabbi Abramsky to Siberia, and it was with the Jewish community in London, with the assistance of the British government, got him out of Siberia and brought him over to London in about 1931. So when I said it could happen at any time and anywhere in the world, I remember that, and I added, excepting perhaps in England. And for 2 minutes, there was absolute silence. And to be 2 minutes with an autumn godel in absolute silence is like a year. It only happened once before with me, and that was with the Archie Bucks in Shabbat. Happened once that I sat 2 minutes, there was absolute silence. It was like 2 years then. But with Rabbi Abramsky, it was like a year. And he said, even in England. That was his reply. Even in England. So this is what can happen. And Torah says, when everything has come that I said will come to you, if you leave the Torah, all these things will befall you. Then he says, "V'shavtu ad Hashem Elokacha," that you will return after all this has happened. Then you will return unto Hashem. V'shomato v'kono, you will listen to His voice. Kechol asher unchi mitzavecha hayom, according to everything which I command you to this day. So it is going to be good or bad. No reply.
Good.
Wonderful. Ato you, uvonecho, and your children. Good or bad? Couldn't be better. V'chol levo, v'chol, v'chol nafshecho, and you will return to Hashem with all your heart and with all your soul. The best of everything. The height. V'shova Hashem elokecha, shivusecho v'lichamecho. And the way Chazal learned this is, and Hashem will return together with you, and He will have mercy on you. V'shova, and He will return, v'kibetzecho mikol ha'amim, and He will gather you together from all the nations. Asher ifitzecho Hashem elokecha shomo, where Hashem dispersed you, He will gather you together from there. For you can be on the other side of the earth, you can be as far away as California. From there He will collect you, and from there He will take you. And Hashem will bring you to that land, Moshiach. So according to the Torah, will there be, but before Mashiach comes, will there be Torah or won't there be Torah? According to this, there will be. They return to Hashem. And then they will return. So it says, what a wonderful it will be. The Gemara says, Pung Farket. Pung Farket means just the opposite in Chinese. Pung Farket, says the Gemara. Shavuot says, Chutz b'yaske, ein techov. Terrible thing. So it's a stira. The Gemara goes, the Torah Shebal Peh goes against, you understand what I'm saying? The Torah Shebal Peh goes against the Torah Shebiksav. So how can it be? It's an iron akasha. It's a cast iron question. Milton, I believe. You understand?
Yeah.
That's the question that the Chofetz Chaim asks. Chofetz Chaim asked that question. And his answer is, there'll be a polarization. You will have all that coming. And there will be absolute non-belief, absolute atheism. And you will have a very, very little. This is what it will be. Everywhere will be chutzpah, will be, what is chutzpah? Do they know? It's an English word, it's an American word, isn't it? I don't have to even translate it. Chutzpah will be everywhere. That will be the rule of the day. It's so much the rule of the day already that people don't notice it anymore. They think that that's the norm. Don't notice it anymore. It's the norm. There'll be terrorism. There won't be any tilchoch amongst our people. Chutzpah amongst our people. Not speaking about the others. In what we understand to be the Torah world, there'll be chutzpah. Though tilchoch, there it will be. Exactly as it says in the Mishnah, exactly as it says in the Gemara, it says in the Torah Shebal Peh. But there will be a little nucleus within that little nucleus that will be this, and from that little nucleus it will grow. They tell the story about the Vilna Gaon. That the Vilna Gaon, it came ill, and the Vilna Gaon wanted somebody to give him Musa. So go and get somebody to give Musa to the Vilna Gaon. So he sent for the Dubna Magid. Yes?
What's Musa?
Musa is what I sometimes give you privately. I say, look at me, that person, your standard. You should learn a little more than you are learning. You could achieve a lot. That's Musa. So they called, so he sent for the Dubna Magid. The Dubna Magid must come and give him Musa. How did he get to the Dubna Magid? He sent a message to the Dubna Magid. The Dubna Gorn calls you, you must come and give him Musa. It got about the town. The Dubna Gorn sends to the Dubna Magid. Everybody was certain that the Dubna Magid would refuse the very kind offer. The Dubna Magid accepts it. And he goes and he gave him Musa. And he said to him, Dubna Gorn, there's nobody that compare himself to you today. For the last 200 years, there hasn't been anybody that can compare yourself to him. And Dubna Gorn knew that. He said, you think you're smart. What do? You get up in the morning, you go across the road into the shtibul and you daven there. You don't even take off your tefillin. You go with your tefillin back home. The first thing you do before you take off your tefillin, you close the windows and put up the shutters. And you light a lamp and then you sit up there for the rest of the day. To mincha. That is your world. Across the road. Of course you're a god. Of course you're a tzaddik. Go out into the marketplace. Earn your living there. And the story is that the Dubna Gorn broke down and went. I must tell you that story is klingt mit emes. It's got a hollow ring about it. There's something that's not true about it. Why did the Dubna Gorn ask? I will explain to you why. The Dubna Gorn knew that there remains only a small nucleus where there won't be chutzpah. He knew he'll be responsible. That should remain, imagine the Dubna Gorn. The Mishnah says, Ein tel chocho, you won't be able to say anything to anybody. He knew that he had to preserve that there must be Telchocho. How did he preserve it? Somebody must come to him and give him Telchocho. Because he is the Dubna Gorn. And somebody gives him Telchocho and he will be able to take it. And he got the very best person for the job. And he broke down and he wept. He's preserved it. So in his generation, he's preserved it. The chokhmah is there. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand?
I'm not sure what the chokhmah is.
But why don't you stop? The chokhmah is reproof. Admonishment. The deen is that if you see somebody doing wrong, but you must tell him in such a way that his face doesn't change color. Once his face changes color, you're responsible for insulting him, which is worse than probably what he's been doing. So you've got to be able to be a mochiach. You follow? You've got to be able to be a person who can admonish. It's an art. Admonishment is an art. Uh, If you do it clumsily, you more guilty for your admonishment than that person is for what he has done or what he hasn't done. Didn't you see when I said a couple of words to Barry, I made sure I turned around just to see that he didn't change colour. He didn't. He did well. So I'm satisfied. And Barry knows that if I speak, it's a big schuss. I use Barry as a means of illustrating. You know what a schuss it is? You know what a schuss means? What does a schuss mean?
Merit.
Means that merit is a credit. It's a privilege. Privilege is a good word. It's a privilege. And it gets credit for it. Gets credit for that. Put down. He's been used as an example to prove something. So that is where we stand in the world today. So here we've got a small group of people, and we come and we study them. But we've got to know what are the priorities. To study Torah, no derech eretz. I've got a principle that I'm prepared to teach anybody Torah. But there are two prerequisites. Intelligence and derech eretz. Which doesn't mean to say that if a person isn't intelligent, that he mustn't learn Torah. Of course he must. But I'm not the person that can do it. There are much better people than I that can do that. So, intelligence. Person hasn't got derech eretz, that not. Derech eretz kol Torah. It's not that from Torah you will learn derech eretz, you won't. If you haven't got derech eretz, you won't learn it from Torah. If you've got derech eretz, and then you learn Torah, your derech eretz will have content. If you've got derech eretz, and then you will have Torah, your derech eretz will become refined. If you've got Derech Eretz and then you learn Torah, your Derech Eretz will be polished. Not veneered. Polished. That is what Torah does. But first of all, there's got to be Derech Eretz. And there's a reason why the Rebbeinu Shlomo has made it that way. Which I can't go into it with you now. There's a reason why. Why it has to be like that. If it wasn't like that, it would be no good. I hope I've made myself clear. Gemara, of course, Gemara is that which is most sublime in Torah. With Gemara, you're coming down to the earth. That's the real thing. That's the real Torah. Over the phone, a rabbi whom I had never met before, and I'd never heard of before, a little less than two weeks ago, telephoned me to discuss something. And he used an expression that I'd never heard before. He used an expression, ra-ra. I didn't know what he meant. But then he phoned me a second time and he used the expression again, and then from the context I understood what he meant. And what he meant is, he didn't want to have Judaism. He wanted to have Torah. That is really what he meant. And then subsequently to that I met this fellow. It was a pleasure. He understood what it was all about. Rara is talking about round about the subject, never coming down to the subject itself. Gemara. That's the greatest. Just no question about it. In addition to intelligence, and in addition to character, for Gemara, one needs two further qualities. First, third quality is endurance. If you haven't got endurance, you fall by the back of the eye. First, have endurance. I want to tell you that endurance belongs to character. Still, believe that. And if you've got intelligence and you've got character and you've got endurance, one more attribute. Haven't got that yet. The Gemara says, if you learn Gemara for 5 years and you don't make any progress, then you've got the right to give up. My uncle, Zecher Tzadik, went to one person once and he told him to be 5 years. The Gemara says, after 5 years, you can give up. It was long time afterwards that I understood it. When my uncle came to London, he was already sitting in the yeshiva. My uncle said that to him because he had no derech eretz. That's why my uncle said that to him. And the reason he didn't make any progress was because he didn't have any derech eretz. I had one woman who used to come to my shiur. Her name was Gertrude Harvey Cohen. Come to my shiur. On a Shabbos morning, I gave a shiur in Johannesburg. Never miss a shiur. The shiur was from 12 to 1. At 5 minutes past 12, the door was locked. If she had to be late, she would phone me, please leave the door open till 10 past 12. I'll be there the latest 12 past 12. I said, right, then you'd lock the door as you come in. Never miss. Didn't understand the shiur. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. First year I said, Mrs. Cohen, did you understand the shiur? She said, no. By the way, my name is Mrs. Harvey Cohen. Second year I said, Mrs. Harvey Cohen, did you understand the shiur? End of the third year, I said, Mrs. Harvey Cohen, did you understand the shiur? She said, no. I said, Mrs. Harvey Cohen, can you explain to me why you come? 3 years. Why do you come? She said, if all these other people come to the shiur, then there must be something in it. I'm going to find out what there is in it. At the end of the fourth year, I said, Gertrude, how are you getting on? Didn't understand. We are now in the fifth year. There's another 3 weeks to go. And I've made up my mind. End of 3 weeks, she won't come after that. I'll see to it. 3 weeks before the end, she stops me in the middle of the shiur and she asks a question. But one of those questions that I see, she's just gone right through it. She comes up to me after what she said. She never, ever looked back. They're living in Israel now. She gives a shiur. And she tells me that she tells them this shiur she heard from me and she's giving over this shiur.
Horatio Alger.
Tell you, you don't have to say it. You don't have to say it. when we are in Israel, if anything. Her husband was a professor of pediatrics at the University of Witwatersrand, and now they're living in Israel. He's retired and is living in Israel. She never looked back. 3 weeks less than 5 years. Highly intelligent. She was chairlady of the South African Women's Zionist League. The South African Women's Zionist League is a small edition, paperback edition, of the Hadassah, the great Hadassah of the United States of America. They haven't gotten Hadassah there because Hadassah makes it quite clear that this is only America. I believe Canada too is American Canada. So they don't allow Hadassah there. So you know what would happen if you don't allow Hadassah there? We do our own. So they are the Women's Arts thing, a big organization. See, she was president of that. You can't be a president of that if you are. Outstanding talent. They were in an UPA. And then there was a demoralization in the UPA. And she and her husband took over. And in a couple of weeks, it was the model UPA in Israel. They just took over. Highly intelligent character. Endurance. Can you wish for any more endurance than that? Persistence. That is a breakthrough. Now, the reason why I've told you so much all at the beginning of the Shia is that there are people at the Shia that have never been at the Shia before. We are in the middle of a subject. I don't want you to go away from a Shia without having had anything at all. Of all that I told you, if you could remember one thing, it would be worth to me everything. That is the story about the Vilna Gaon and the Vilna Magid. Mitzvah Poshut. How do you say Mitzvah Poshut in English? It's not quite so plain and so similar. The Vilna Gaon doesn't just want to be told Musar. The Vilna Gaon can sit down with a Shari Tshuva as nobody else can sit down with a Shari Tshuva. The Vilna Gaon understood the Mesilas Yeshorim as only one other person understood the Mesilas Yeshorim, and that was the Mesilas Yeshorim himself. It's the only other person who understood the Mesilas Yeshorim as the Vilna Gaon understood.
What is it? What do you understand?
Mesilas Yeshorim is a sefer on Musar. It's called the Path of the Righteous in English, and it's been translated into English. He used it in the original. And Mesilas Yeshorim. Got it. As long as you don't change color, I'm satisfied. Right. That is, you just remember why the Vilna Gaon did that. Preservation of Tochah. That's what it was. And if in a very small conclave we've got anything of it left, only because of the Vilna Gaon. That we're still sufficiently close to him that this has still had its effect. Still got it. That I can say something to Barry. Barry doesn't answer me back. Barry doesn't bristle. And Barry is Makabe. Makabe ba'ahavo or without the ahavo, Barry? Even with ahavo. Even with Abba, only due to the Vilna Gaon. Observed. That is, I want to tell you, those are the Gedolei Yisrael. Those are the Gedolei Yisrael. on the yahrzeit of the it was the second yahrzeit of the Konovich Robin, the first yahrzeit of my uncle, they asked me to speak about them in Johannesburg. It was a very interesting evening, speaking about those two people. And my theme was, what a godel is not. What is not. What I tell you today, what the Vilna Gaon was not. He wasn't a man that asked the Vilna Gaon to come and give him Musa, to give him Tehocha. That was the. He was asked the Vilna Gaon to give him Tehocha, that he should be able to be Makabel the Tehocha, may Ahavo. And through that, he preserves it. That you can admonish and there's somebody there to receive it. Able to receive it. And he's still living by that. Well, we'll do a little bit of learning. Dr. Kokin, you understand what I told you? Lighter things. Lighter things. In the time of the Tannoim, when they gave a shiur, they always started with something light first, as a warming up exercise. Then they came to the Gemara. We are going to do today a little test this. Lo dekotoin tainas don. The last test is on the page. Lo dekotoin tainas don. Now, gentlemen, those of you won't go at 11. Well, then you better go. It's already 10:30. Where is the shiur in Northern California? You ask, all right, fine. you remember that the Gemara wants to bring a proof from Uchel Eitel Homo Yehudo. That if a person eats with his father-in-law in Yehudo, in that period between Erusin and Nesuin, which means that he has ample opportunity to be together with his Aruso, Eino Yochel Mikan Tainas Besuin. After the Chufa, after the first night of marriage, he can't tell her on the Thursday morning, he can't on the Thursday morning say, I didn't find any basuri. Can't say. Because the Beis Din will say to him, we're not surprised. We're not surprised. Everything, there was Yichud, you were together. Eat with your father-in-law. You have so much opportunity. We're not surprised. He said, what can I do about it? Nothing you can do about it. He said, I want to reduce a kesuba. Instead of 200, I wanted to have 100. We say to him, you can't do it. You haven't got any time. That is what the Gemara said. Then the Gemara said, if in Yehuda he can't, it shows in Galilee can. In Galilee can. So that is the deduction, that is the inference, that in Galilee has got a Tainas Besuin. For what purpose is the Gemara? The only purpose it can be speaking about here, I don't have to go through it all again, the only people can be to reduce her Kesuba from 200 to 100. And what is his Tainas Besuin? He says it was Pesach Besuach. Answer the Gemara, no. In Yehuda, that Mishnah or Ovechel Eitzel Choma be Yehuda Shaloba Edim Eina Yochel Eitzel Tainas Besulim Mitnei Yach anymore. There, the Tainas Besulim it's talking about. There's no dam. He says, I didn't find any dam. Therefore, I want to reduce her to Suva. And we say, in Yehuda, we say to him, no. We're not surprised that you didn't find out. You can't reduce her to Suva. Therefore, in Golil, he can reduce the Kesuba, but with what taina? Dam. Which is a better taina, Dam or Pesach Pesuach?
Dam.
So, Dam yes, but Pesach Pesuach no, it's not conclusive, we haven't got a proof from them. If we haven't got a proof from them, therefore, Omer, Rav Yehuda, Omer, Shmuel, Omer, Pesach Pesuach, Matzotzi Neman. So what Shmuel says, that's why it's necessary for Shmuel to say so. Because we cannot deduce it, we cannot infer it from the Mishnah. That was a piece of the model. Avrom, have you got any idea of that? Right. Now, this is an interesting Tosfos. I'm taking the Tosfos because I just want to introduce you here to a new idea. Answers the Gemara, lo de koto in China's domain. The Gemara, Tosfos is addressing itself to that piece of the Gemara, the last piece of Gemara, where the Gemara says, no, in Yehuda it's speaking, where on Thursday morning he comes to the Bezdin and he says, I didn't find any dumb. We say, we don't believe you. Can't do anything about it. And our infants in Kolili care. Says Tosfos, the Havyot Taina Bida Bruro. He says, because that is a very strong plea. I didn't find dam. Me the ain sadili mulukhlochim bedam. Because there are no sheets, spoiled has this better word in English. Stained. Because there are no sheets stained with blood. So that is a drier beruro, a tiny beruro. It's a clear plea. If he says, Pesach Pesach, say, well, yeah. You're not so experienced, you don't know, you think it was Pesuach, it was really not, don't know. Veneria says Tosfos, and it would appear to me, the Vatainas Pesach Pesuach, Vatainas the Domim Dishmaitin, that in the case of Pesach Pesuach, or in the case of Domim, about our Mishnah, speaking in our Mishnah, Ivy, it is speaking about her. When it comes to her reply to the plea, what does she say? He says, Shehito ene shehu bo oleo ba'erisin, o omeris pesulo isi. That her reply is, either you yourself were the one, was the one who caused me not to have pesulim, between erusin and nesuin, or she keeps quiet, she doesn't say anything at all. I'm sorry, or she says, Vesulo, you see. She says, I am a Vesulo. He says, I'm not a Vesulo. She says, I am a Vesulo. So it's one of these two times that she says. Because the Gemara wants to say, the Havavini of the Gemara was that if she says, Pesach Pesuach, if he says, Pesach Pesuach Matzosi, he should be believed, Lafsido Gesuboso. And Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, and Shmuel says, "Ho Omer Pesach Pesuach Matzosi Neimon Lafsido Kesuboso." So Tosfos says, "So what is her reply to the plea?" Says Tosfos, "One of two things: either she says you yourself are responsible for it, or she says I am a Vesulo." Now in Goliel, if she says, but you yourself are responsible for it, we believe him that he didn't do it, and we don't believe her, because in Goliel he's not given that opportunity. It's not the dumb thing that between Erusin and Nisuin, a man will be alone with his Aruso. He would never be seen alone with his Arusa. Her parents would take an interest in it. Would she listen to her parents?
Yes.
Of course. Why? Because she had their heretics. Of course she'd listen to her parents. No question about it. And she would be very careful not to be alone with him. And he, when he went there, his father would say to him, you know the Gemara we learned. said, yes. He said, my son, you know what the deen is. No, you could. She's an Arusa, don't you? Being alone with an Arusa is worse than being alone with somebody else, because an Arusa you've already... So just be very careful. What did he say? Yes, Father. Accepted it without any question. Why? He had their affairs. So when he comes in, Cornel, he comes and he says, she says, he did it. We don't believe it. We believe him. Nemo nafsiro kisibusa. Oh, she says, Vesuloho yisi. She says, I dispute it. You say, Pesach Pesuach. I say, I am a Vesulo. So we say, we still believe him. Why? Because of the Chazoka. In order to reach the Seudu Mafsido. You remember? So he's got the Chazoka, so we believe him. Now, the Im Tomer asks Tosfos a very interesting question.
What is Chazoka?
I beg your pardon?
What is Chazoka?
Chazoka. A Chazoka, you know...
Presumption.
What is that? Presumption. It's presumption.
Case.
It's a Chazoka is that a person won't throw a party in order to celebrate a marriage, and the next day he intends to divorcing her. He doesn't do that sort of thing, you see. It's just not, you can take, that's a Chazoka. So if he does, comes on Thursday morning to say that he didn't find the Sulim, and don't forget it's speaking about Ashes Kohen here, that means that she becomes Asura to him. As soon as she becomes Asura to him, it means that the whole 20th century plaza everything goes by the board. Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. A person doesn't do that. That is a reason that he's telling the truth, and that is the reason why we believe him, and we don't believe her if she says, but I am a Vesula. That's clear. The Intomer asks Tostas a question. Says Tostas, V'nehem no levido v'migu, the Iboya Omra Misha Erestani Ne'enasti, the Ne'emenes L'Rabn Gamliel De Paskino Nakamon Kavosei. Later on in the Gemara, there is a machlokas. But Rabban Gamliel says that if in the case of Pesach Pesuach, he says Pesach Pesuach Motzos, and her return plea is, Philip, is that the word you return plea? Is that the word you consider it? And her return plea is, it's true, I'm not a Pesuach. I was forced by another man between ASC and Sui. I was forced by another man. It's true, I'm not in the Sui. Rabban Gamliel says, we believe her, says Rabban Gamliel. And we paskin like Rabban Gamliel. Yes, Yaakov. And we're going to come to that. We are going to come to that. But she says, Mishe'eres tani ne'enas. Then we believe her. So Tensus asks a question and says, in that case, she's got a migu. In that case, a migu. I'm not going to tell you. You must find it out yourself. I tell you that I do something that there isn't the time to wait till you find out these things by yourself, you what? See. Yeah, it took me 40 years to understand what happened with the unicorn. I was unhappy about it for 40 years. I was unhappy about it.
I hope I don't have to wait 40 years.
Well, if you wait 40 years, it's not so serious. If I've got to wait 40 years to see you get it. That's the only reason I tell it to you before. I want to have a little bit of nuthas. Right, I won't tell you yet. I'll give you a chance to catch over on yourself. I won't tell you yet. So Tosva says, Ram Gamliel says, if Misha Eristani Nasti, that I, from in the town, I was forced to be stupid by another man. She is believed. So we should believe her by a miku here. What does she say? She says, the Sulo Vidisi. Or she says, he himself did it. Because if she wanted to tell a lie, she could tell a better lie. She could say that she was forced in the period between Erusin and Nisuin. She was forced. And if she was forced between the period of Erusin and Nisuin, she would be believed. So let us believe her now.
The reason is Sadhan is Sadhan.
We're coming to that. That's very good. We're coming to that. So therefore, she should be believed what she says now. Now you understand what a migu is?
Yes.
Because if she wanted to tell a lie, she could have told a better lie and she would have been believed. So now that she says, Basulo, or if she says, Gugo or lie, the Eirusi, she should be believed with a migu. Why does Ram Gambia say that we share Eristani Nianasti between Eristin and Nisuin? It would be better for her to have said before Eristin it happened. Because if before Eristin it happened, he said in that case, you get only 100, of course. Then she wasn't a Basula. If she wasn't a Basula, then a Kasubi is only 100. There's no question about it. But if it happened after Eirusin, then it's Nistat Chosodei. Why? If I sell you a field of potatoes, a field of tomatoes, thousands of dollars worth of tomatoes, they're not quite ready for picking. You offer me $10,000 for a field, I figure, $10,000. But in 10 days' time, you pick these tomatoes, and there's a shortage of tomatoes. They're making all sorts of things out of tomatoes today. Ketchups, juices, all sorts of things. You know what you're going to do? All right, I'll pay you extra. Pays an extra $20,000 for the tomatoes. $30,000. 10 days' time, he's going to start reaping those. In 5 days' time, there's a flood. Gone. He comes to me, he said, I want $20,000 back. Didn't get the tomatoes. What do we say to him?
That's your loss.
It's yours. It was your field to what to whom it happened. If it should have happened that she was an anuso before Eirusin, then he says, right, but your kasubi is only 100. But if it happened after Eirusin, it's his field. It's his. Happened to his wife. You've got to pay expenses if she becomes ill. It's your wife to whom it happened. That is why she says, if the plea is, because it's speaking about the Kasubo, Bisha Eristani Nasti, from the time that you. So that is Tosfos' kasha. So if she says Basulo Hohisi, we should believe her. If she wanted to tell a lie, she could have told a better lie. If she said, who bore or lie, she should be believed, because she could have said that another person forced me. I don't like using the word, rather use the word force. Have you got the idea? That is Tosfos' kasha. Yes, sorry.
What does it matter what she says?
Yeah. Why? What does it matter?
If
it's a matter of whether she gets 200 or she gets 100. Here, if he says Pesach Pesuach, she gets 100, she gets 200. Tosfos is kasha, she gets 100 because he's believed. Tosfos is kasha, she should get 200. She should be believed because she's got a migul. He's got a chazoko, but she's got a migul. It's a good question. Have you got? Only about the Gesubah. Don't forget what it's speaking about here. Michael, are you going away for long?
No.
All right. Answers Tosfos, Yesh Loma, answers Tosfos.
Could you do that last one again? The inside.
Inside. The Imtomar asks Tosfos, Vnehem no the Migul. Let us believe her with a Migul, di boya omra misha eristani me anasti. Let us believe her with either one of those two return pleas. Either that she says, yes, I'm not a basula because he is responsible for it. Or she says, but I am a basula. I was a basula. Let us believe her because she's got a migul. Because the Iboya Omro, if she wanted to tell a lie, she could have said, literally, the Iboya Omro, if she wanted to, she could have said, Misha Erustani Neanasti. From the time of Erusin, a strange man forced me. Deneemeneth la Rabban Gamliel, and according to Rabban Gamliel, she would be believed, the Beskina la Kaman Kabose, according to whom later on we passed him. So the idea. V'yeshlomar answers Tosfos, the eino moda verotzon sheniva lo me'achel. A woman doesn't like conceding that she had a relationship with a man, a strange man, even if it was the onus, even if he forced her. She doesn't like it. It's not nice. She doesn't like speaking about it. So we say, so what is the migul? If she wanted to tell a lie, she could have told a better lie. She couldn't have told that better lie. She doesn't want to say that. So it's not a migul. See how simple it is. Just everything falls into place. David, are you with me? There's been a break in between.
No.
From last week, you know, we didn't see each other last week, so I'm just a little bit concerned about you. All right. So Tosfos answers it beautifully. Yes. The ode, and another reason, says Tosfos, the ain zeh migu, the mifsalom nafsho mikahuno. She says, what does she really see? She says, one of two things she says. Either she says, you yourself did it, or she says, I'm still a basula. So we say, we should give her a migul, that she could say, Misha Erustani Neanasti. After Erusin, somebody else forced me. But if she says that, that means she makes herself basula likahuna. That means she can't marry a Kohen after that. That's not a migul. A migul is only if she wanted to tell a lie, she could have told a better lie. But if she tells the better lie, it means that she's possible to a Kohen. So that's the second reason why it's not a migul. So Tosfos gives two reasons why it's not a migul. Mark, I know exactly what you want to ask me. So ask it, Mark.
The second response from Tosfos, talking about she, it's not a migul because she wouldn't be, she'd be usher to this man as a Kohen or to any Kohen.
Could ask it a little bit better than that. What is it speaking about?
It's talking about she was a bula anyway.
But what is it speaking about?
She's being honest.
What kind of marriage is this?
It's
an Ashes Cohen. Yeah. So it's already an Ashes Cohen.
Yeah.
And if she says, she's already an Ashes Cohen. And now she's Tainas, who bore Leaba Erasin, or she Tainas Basula or Yisi, what is the deen as far as that is concerned and his belief? The deen is that he's got a divorcer. That's the whole thing, because it's a Kohen. And if she would, he's got a divorcer. So we say, we want to believe her that she is a Basulo, and he doesn't divorce her. Why should she be believe her? Because if she wanted to, she could have told a better lie. What is the better lie that she could have? She said, Michael Rastani Neonasti, that I became an Anusa from the time of Erosin and by another man. Says Tosfos, but through... Are we pardon?
She
disqualified herself from a Kohen. She doesn't. She wants to remain with her husband. And by doing that, it means that she is not allowed to live with her husband. So therefore, it's not illegal. If you don't pay, you don't give a big, that falls away. So there, Tosfos gives two reasons why there can't be that meal. Now comes Tosfos with another question. Michael, have you got something of this?
I think so.
Going up and down. I know it's a little bit confusing, but everything, don't forget, if it was the first time we were doing this, you'd have no difficulties with it.
Yes, I would. I'm sorry.
The only reason that you've got difficulties with it the first time is because, but I go after to review the first time, I've already done it six times.
Yes, sir.
You follow? My difficulties are contagious by that stage. So that is why you've got the difficulties. Otherwise, we wouldn't have any difficulties at all. Right. Now, but Tosfos asks another question. This time, Tosfos really gets an idea. There's another way in which a basula loses a basula. We call it mukas eitz. Literally, mukas eitz means an injury through a piece of wood. But that's only a technical term. And she can lose her basurim It's a good thing girls don't learn tomorrow. She can lose her basurim. She can lose her basurim by very rigorous sport. She can lose her basurim. Jumping, high jump, and all this sort of thing. It's possible to lose the basurim. Through an injury, fall, she can also lose her basurim. Now, Tosfos has got a very good kashas. But Avol cautious is Tosfos, but there's another difficulty. Let us believe her because she could have said Mukas Eitzani. She could have said, instead of saying, I am a Basula, or instead of saying, you yourself are responsible for it, she could have said, you're quite right, I'm not a Basula. Mukas Eitz. I'm a Mukas Eitz. I lost my Basuli. Doing sport or whatever it was, I lost my pursuit. Then I feel the rabbona the kama the amri mukas etz kusubosa mamono. Mukas etzari. And even if you will say, but she doesn't gain by it, because the rabbonim say that a mukas etz only gets 100, and that he wants to reduce it, only gets 100. So she won't say something that she reduces her kesuba. That's not a migo. The ain't a migo. The ain't a rotzo lahapsit klum is a good boso, because she doesn't want to lose anything of her kesuba. Mikol moko me'menes the migo. You can. She would be believed with a migo. She could say the migo ni boy omra. She could have said mukas etzani tachtech of nistap chosodeyu. She could have said, I became a Mukas Eitz between Erosin and Nisui. I was practicing for the Olympics. Well, you don't have to worry, I didn't make it, because I was practicing for it. And I lost my pursuing. But this was after Erosin. In that case, she gets a full 200, because it's Nistab Chosodeyu. It's your field that has become flooded. So she's got a legal. So we should believe that she said, but he says Pesach Pesuach Matzosi. And she says, I'm a Vesulot. Or she says, you did it, we should believe her, because she's got a migul. What is her migul? She could have said, Mukas Eitz Ani. It happened just 3 months ago. I was a Mukas Eitz, I was practicing, I was a Mukas Eitz. But it's not because today, and she would be believed. So that we are back again to the question, why when he says Pesach Pesuach my, and she says, I'm a Vesulot. Or she says, it's true, I'm a Be'ulah, but you did it. She should be believed. Because if she wanted to tell a lie, she had a better lie. She said, I was practicing for the Olympics. It happened then. And it was only 3 months ago. And she'd get away with it. So now, if she wanted to, we should say, therefore it's not a lie what she's telling now. She's a liar, she had a better lie. Therefore, Lachach Nira, therefore, says Tosfos, it would appear to me, and this is a very important principle that we don't say migu b'mokum chazoka. The ein odem teureach b'seudo umafsito afal gav. The bio he prepared a kama of a bova basru. I am rinam migu b'mokum chazoka olo. Says Tosfos like this. What have we got now? He says, Pesach Pesuach Matzosi. She says, let us only take one of the two return, please, so to make it easier for you. He says, Pesach Pesuach Matzosi. She says, Vesulo Yisi. I am a Vesulo. That's her reply to you. We say, we should believe her because she's got a migul. If she wanted to tell a lie, she could have told a better lie and she would have been believed. She would have said, Mukas Eitz Ani 3 months ago. And she would have been believed. So we say, she has got a migul to show that she's believed. He has got a chazoka to show that he is believed. Because chazoka in order to reach Pisuudu Matsido. So if it is a question of a migu against the chazoko, we don't say that the chazoko is stronger.
But it's not.
That is, just let me finish the statement first, then you can ask.
We don't say that?
Then we say no, a migu b'mokum chazoko, we don't. It's a question of two proofs. One proof is a chazoko, the other proof is a migu. It's a question of which is the stronger proof. Says the Gemara Chazoka, says Tosfos, I would like to say that Chazoka is a stronger proof than Migu, therefore she is, he is believed and not she. Did I say something different?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, so that can happen. Right. Lechach Nire says Tosfos, to have a Migu b'mokum Chazoka. So says Tosfos, this is a case of Migu b'mokum Chazoka. It's a Migu as against a Chazoka, two types of proof. The one proof is a chazok and the other proof is a migu. The ein odem teureach b'seudu mafsito afal gav de baye he became paid a kamer de bava basra I amrinu migu mokum chazok olo. Because in bava basra there is a debate going on there whether is a chazok or we do say migu. And we say that migu is stronger than chazok or we don't say migu is stronger than chazok. Says perhaps this type of chazoka is a stronger chazoka. And what we will have to find out one day is why there should be a stronger chazoka. But Tosfos says a chazoka that ain't odem tereach v'seudem afsido is a stronger chazoka than the migu that she has got. So it's possible that in other cases we might say migu is stronger than chazoko or as strong as chazoko, but in this particular case the chazoka here is a very strong chazoka, and we don't say migu b'mokum chazoko. Philip, what did you want to say?
So he says that the chazoka here is
stronger than the migu.
Stronger than the one that's found in the
very good. This is excellent. Avron, do you want to say anything? Answer that.
I wanted to ask, what is the case when the parents of the body or the wife herself case what is it, what's our
we actually we discussed that a couple of weeks ago. Then the position of course is different. Then he hasn't got the chazoko, you see. He's only got the chazoko if he's got to divorce her and he pays for the wedding, right? Otherwise then we've got to live the, of course then it works out differently. Doesn't lose anything. Just let us finish this. And now comes another question that Postus mentions. Just understand what kind of nigu this is and what it would mean if we would believe. He says, Pesach Pesuach Motsosi. She says, Vesulo Ho Isi. I'm a Vesulo. Now, I'm sorry, with it. She says, Pesach Pesuach Motsosi. She says, you're right. It was Pesuach.